I appreciate that. And ladies, God bless you. John chapter 19, Gospel of John. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in your New Testament. All right, chapter 19. Don't say enough about people that do things here in our church, but I praise the Lord. Thank God for our ushers who help us. And they're so very helpful. Last Sunday night, a lady came a little bit late to the service. She wasn't going to stay. She was going to leave. She said, "Oh, I'm not dressed properly for the service." And Brother Steve DeVries talked her into staying. He said, "No, you're fine. Come in. Come on in. Sit down. Enjoy the service." And at the end of the service, that lady got saved last Sunday night. And there's more to the story than that. There's far more to it than that. It's an incredible story. I'm not going to take time to go into it. We told you a little bit about it on Wednesday night. But I didn't mention that. I wanted to thank God for an usher that had enough sense. Amen. To really work somebody into staying and then staying. That was a blessing. All right, let's stand together. And we're in verse number 28 today. If you'll please read with me verse 29, I'll finish it up with verse 30. So Gospel of John 19 and 28, this is what it says after this. Now, we're picking up the scene of the cross here, okay? Jesus on the cross. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Let's pray. Father, please help us today to get something from your book. Would you please help us, O Lord, to bring an open heart, a tender heart. And then, God, would you open our eyes that we could behold wondrous things from your book this morning. Speak to us from it. It's a great book. And dear Holy Spirit, we can't command you. We can't dictate to you. We have no power over you. But we certainly would invite you to come and be in this service. There's something you bring to a service that only you can bring. You bring a liberty. You bring a freedom. You bring an ability to hear and listen. You bring a conviction that only you can bring. So, Spirit of God, we ask you to bring that this morning to our hearts. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we ask in all this. Amen. God bless you.
Creator.
wonderful. Good singing. Brother Caleb, you got that down about that one, either slumber nor sleep. Amen. You thought about that song after that conversation you had with that fella. That's another time and place. We told it last Sunday night. It was an outstanding story about Brother Caleb's in a conversation with a man that worshiped a false god. He put his god to sleep. And he was going to wake him up and then give him a bath and feed him. And that's what he told him. Unbelievable. And Brother Caleb, he said, you know, just like your Jesus, he sleeps. And Caleb said, our God does never sleep, never slumbers. Amen. Verse number 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. That's the title of the message this morning. It is finished. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're certainly glad that you neither slumber nor sleep. We're glad that you're a very present God to help in the time of trouble. Lord God, truly these are troubling days. But God, we have the optimism, we have the outlook, the uplook, because we believe in you. And God, we'll lift our eyes to you, from which cometh our help. I lift my eyes to you right now and ask for your help, even to preach this message. And I pray that the Spirit of God would have control in this hour, these moments. Speak to us. Thank you for every person here today. May we have a good service, Lord, in your book. And I'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. There's something very satisfying and rewarding about saying it's finished. To come to the conclusion of something, I'm not talking about the sermon I'm preaching right now, okay? I know you say it's finished, but, you know, to reach the point where the work or the project is completed, to finish, to arrive at the end, to bring to an end, to finish. There's something very satisfying about that. The first time the word is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 1, where it describes the creative work of Almighty God. And the Bible says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, meaning that God was done with his creative work. I remember some happy finishes in my life. I remember when I finished my college studies, when I realized that I had no plans of going on for a master's degree or a doctorate, and I realized that this is it. My school days are over. My goodness, that was a wonderful finish. I think one of the biggest smiles I ever saw on the face of my wife was college graduation night, because she didn't go to college to get a degree. She went to college to get a husband. She got her degree, but she sure failed on the husband part. Amen. And but about the second year we were in school together, we had started to date. And at the midway through our freshman year, and when she came back from out of state all summer, when she came back for her sophomore year, we were together briefly one afternoon before I went to work. And we were talking about what brought it up. She said, well, this is my last year. And I said, your last year? And she said, yes. She said, I didn't come to get a degree. I just thought I'd come and stay for a couple of years and then go. And I said, oh, I always thought that the woman I married would get a college degree, would have a college degree. And so she changed her mind, amen, and decided to stay. And when graduation night came, this beam was on her. I mean, beaming smile on her face. We still have the picture. Somebody randomly shot a candid photo of her walking down the aisle of graduation night. And my goodness, the smile on her face, it is incredible. She was finished. I remember when we remodeled our kitchen for several months, our oven. You know, we're going to get it done in this amount of time, you know. This amount of time and for this much money, right? Yeah, you know how that goes, okay? So we remodeled our kitchen for several months. Our oven was a microwave. Our kitchen was our living room. The sinks were in the bathroom. The dishwasher was in the bathtub. And it was that way for several months. You talk about being glad something was finished. When it got finished, I was very, very satisfied. And I'm sure each one of you has some memory of some accomplishment when you were able to say those wonderful words, I'm finished, or it's finished. And each of us have our own special memories about that. But for the corporate good of mankind, there never has been a time when those words meant more than when they were spoken in our passage, the one that we read just a moment ago. For the corporate good of mankind, It is finished, recorded in John chapter 19 and verse number 30, is unsurpassed. It means the most. Now, Jesus has laid down His life on the cross when you get to chapter 19, verse 30. He just took care of His beloved mother while He was hanging there. All the disciples except for John forsook Him and fled. There was a handful of women, and in that group of women was His mother. And there was the disciple John standing with her, with the women. And Jesus looked at His mother from the cross and spoke to her. And He said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then saying to John, talking about John, and then to John, He said, "Behold thy mother." What He was doing, He's saying, "Mom, John will take care of you now." And He said to John, "John, you take care of Mom." And from that hour, one of the other Gospels says, from that hour, John took her to his house. Maybe this Gospel. And cared for the mother of Jesus Christ. Here was the Son of God, dying for the souls of men, and yet He had the presence of mind and the compassion of heart to care for His mother. Now, this is not the sermon this morning. This is free. All you young ladies who are looking for a husband, a man to marry, you should check out how does he treat his mother. And if he treats his mother like a dog, you better drop that and walk away. Because it won't be long, he'll be treating you the same way. That's free this morning. Isn't that nice? Amen. Didn't cost a thing. Not in the notes, just like a bird comes flying through. Just grab it and say something and move on. Now, so here's the son of that. Now, after that, he just cares for his mother. Then Jesus cries out, "I thirst." And the soldier filled a sponge, the Bible says, with vinegar and put it to the mouth of Jesus Christ. And then he lifted his voice and he said very plainly and very clearly these three words, "It is finished." It is finished. Now, he did die. But he did not mean by those three words that his life was over. Now, this is what the chief priests and the rulers of the Jews were hoping for. This is what the Pharisees and the elders and the religious rulers of the day were all excited about. Let's get this imposter out of here. Let's get this rabble-rouser out of our hair. Let's put an end to him. And then this small little group of believers will disband. And we can go about our normal way of worship and our normal way of religion. Let's put this rabble-rouser to death and be away with him. Boy, did that ever backfire on them. Amen. No, not only was his life not over, but things would not be the same for a long time. They had, you know, they had their world turned upside down when 3 days and three nights later, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He showed himself alive to his followers. He showed himself alive to individuals. He showed himself alive to over 500 people at one time. He showed himself alive for 40 days. He left the earth. He's alive today, and one of these days he's coming back to the earth. No, he didn't mean his life was over. When he said, "It is finished." No. But there were several things that were meant by those words, "It is finished." I don't have time to give you all that is meant by that, but I'll take time for three this morning. Number one, what did Jesus mean when he said, "It is finished"? Number one, he meant the work was done. The work was done. John chapter 17, verse number 4, Jesus spoke often about his work. And this is what he said, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." This was in his prayer closet as he was praying to God, his Father. This is just a short time before he was crucified. The process of his death and his arrest, his trial, his sentencing and his death was just about to begin. And in his mind, he knew he was going through with it. So before it all started, he said to his Father, he said, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And then on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," the work was done. Now you say, "Pastor, what was the work that was finished?" The work that was finished was his death. His death was the capstone of his work. Listen, friend, everything that Jesus did on earth was according to the will of God, according to the will of his Father. Every miracle, every sermon, every conversation, every lecture, all of it was according to God's plan for his life. But listen, had Jesus just preached, had Jesus just lectured, had Jesus just worked miracles, had Jesus just had conversations and not died, he could not have said, "It is finished." His death was the capstone to his work. The truth is that the cross is where he was headed the moment he was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember the conversation that the angel Gabriel had with Joseph? When she turned up expecting, he was ready to put her away. He was ready to end the relationship, thinking that she had had some adulterous affair. And the angel Gabriel came to Joseph and said, "I don't put her away. She's a good woman, that all of this is of God. And the baby that's in her womb is conceived of the Holy Ghost." Now watch this. He said, "When the baby is born, you're going to call it, when the baby's born, you're going to call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus means Savior. So from the moment he was conceived in the womb of Mary, Jesus knew his work was to go to the cross and become the Savior of the world. The angel said the same thing to Mary. When the angel came to Mary, Hail Mary, thou that found favor with God, blessed art thou amongst women. Thou hast found favor with God. And you got a baby inside. How can this be? Saying, "I know not a man. The thing which is in your womb has been conceived of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee." And when the baby is born, you're going to call his name Jesus. The angel Gabriel told that to Joseph. The angel Gabriel told that to Mary. Call his name Jesus. Savior. You see, Jesus came to die. Now watch this. Listen, others like you and me are born to accomplish maybe many great and helpful things and then die. But Jesus was born to die. And along the way to his death, he did many great and wonderful things. See, for most of us, our life is like this. We're born and we live and we hope to accomplish something. Maybe it's public, maybe it's private, who knows? But we try to accomplish something, we accomplish and work and work and work, and then, you know, we die. That's just for me and you. But for Jesus Christ, he was born into this world and he did some great and mighty things and some wonderful things, and he just kept doing his work, and then he died. There was no falling off. His death was the capstone to his whole life. Death was the crowning moment in the life of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Death, the crowning accomplishment of life. That's how it was for Jesus. That's what he meant when he said on the cross, "It is finished." The work was done. Rulers come. Rulers make their mark. And then they die. Athletes come. Athletes make their mark. Then they die. Other people, business people come. Business people make their mark. And then they die. Jesus died to make his mark. Do you see the difference in his life, in your life, in my life? It wasn't just that he was holy and the Son of God and righteous and sinless and all of that. Thank God that he was. But his life was completely different in the fact that his death was his crowning accomplishment. His death was his life's mission. The work was done when he said on that cross, "It is finished." He meant the work was done. So first of all, when he said "it is finished," he meant the work was done. Didn't mean his life was over. He meant the work was done. Number two, what did Jesus mean by the words "it is finished"? He meant the sacrifice was complete. The sacrifice was complete. Listen carefully. If you've ever undertaken a project in your house or someplace that involved drywall and drywall work. Would you like to give a testimony there, Brother Caleb? Amen. All right. He had one of those projects that was supposed to be this long and this much money, and a few sheets of drywall later. How many sheets of drywall later? Oh, horrible. But anyway, I can remember when I was in Bible college, we had a Sunday school. Our Sunday school department was on the fifth floor of the Seifert building on State Street there in Hammond, Indiana. I mean the fifth floor. And they asked us one summer if we would consider remodeling our Sunday school department. And so there's no elevator in that building. We had to haul drywall up five flights of steps, five floors, hauling drywall up and down. Listen, after we got done doing that, we would go to Wendy's. I would eat a triple hamburger, the largest fry, the largest milkshake, pop, the largest Frosty, the largest chili. I'm not kidding. Everything extra. Eat it all and not gain a pound. Now I just gained 3 ounces talking about that to you in the service this morning. Now, you know, hanging drywall is one thing. A lot of folks can hang drywall, but finishing it is something altogether different. I bet there's only a handful of men in this church that can do drywall good. I mean the mudding and the taping, and then the feathering it out, and then come back and look at it. And you know, a new wall, Brother Dennis, am I right? A new wall is much easier to do than an old wall. Trying to do an old wall that somebody else has maybe massacred. And you got to start on that thing. And I mean the tape and the mud and the dry and sand it and come back and a little more to fix this blemish and a little more to fix this patch. And now sand it some more and feather it out and do it some more. And here, put a little bit more mud on this. I mean, how would you like to keep working over and over, over, over to get that drywall finished? Huh? Some of you have done that. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to work on something for approximately 4,000 years? And all that time, only hear someone say, you're not finished. You're not finished. You're not finished. You say, 4,000 years? That's silly, Pastor. Nobody's going to work 4,000 years on the same project. That's impossible. I understand that as far as you and I in this life. But do you understand, friend, for approximately 4,000 years, sacrifices had been offered for man's sin. God offered the first sacrifice in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned against Him, and a sacrifice had to be made to cover their sin. An innocent animal had to die. Blood was shed. But listen. That sacrifice only covered man's sin. And then for 4,000 years, sacrifice after 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 sacrifice. How many times do you want me to say it? For 4,000 years. Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Every time they offered one, not finished. 4,000 years. That's a long time. 4,000 years. But God had spoken when He did that first sacrifice in the Garden of Eden. God had spoken of a day when the last sacrifice would be offered. And the last sacrifice for sin was offered on the cross of Calvary in the person of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ offered Himself as the sacrifice for all of man's sins, He could say, finally, it's finished. 4,000 years of sacrifices. But when Jesus died, it was finished. And bless God, when it was finished, it didn't just cover sin. It took sin away, which is a big difference. Amen. Now, look this. Oh, I think I mentioned this before in a message some years ago. I'm going to need some help, maybe. Brother Caleb. I'm going to let you, please. You know, let's start with, I hate to use the word class, but for lack of a better word, let's use a rank, maybe, class, I don't know. Zach, I'm going to make you, since you're the youngest, stay up there, brother, if you would. We're going to make Zach the animal kingdom. All right? The animal in Zach is a very dangerous thing. All right? So, Nick, come on here. We're going to let you be man. 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 No matter what all the Greenpeace people say, man has dominion over the earth. Man has dominion over the animals. That's what the Bible teaches. God said, you get hungry, go kill an animal and eat it. Didn't say just kill it and throw it on the side of the road. Unless it's a possum. Possums are exempted from that. Amen. You can kill all the possums you want. I rejoiced this morning in my exercise time. I saw a possum dead on the side of the road, and I rejoiced about that. Amen. It wasn't there Friday, but it was there this morning. It was wonderful. God, thank you for that. Amen. Got a blessing on Sunday morning very early. All right, this is the animal kingdom. This is man. Levi, do you mind helping me this morning? I don't want to get Dan up here. He's too tall for Brother Caleb. Amen. So, okay, come right up here. You're going to be the angels, okay? Oh, boy, man. Can you grow? Can you do something? I mean, okay. So, okay. All right. So, we got animals and we got man. The Bible says that man is made a little lower than the angels. Okay? I'm not making this up. It's what God said. Okay? It's all in the book. So animals, and man has dominion over animals, and then angels, and angels are, man's made a little lower than the angels, so angels have dominion over animals. And then you see, then you got Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about this tonight in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews says he's better than the angels. Okay? Now for 4,000 years, an animal from this class, an animal from this rank, died for this rank. The lower dying for the higher. And God said, not finished. Not finished. 4,000 years, Brother Tony. 4,000 years. How many sacrifices? You think after a while, even though it's a lower class, a lower rank, after 4,000 years to do it, okay, finally, enough bloodshed. Nope. Not finished until a higher class. In fact, the highest class. No one higher than the blessed Son of God came and sacrificed himself for someone lower than him. And when that happened, it's finished. That's it. Thank you, fellas. It's finished. Praise God is right. Sure, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. That's why he said on the cross, it's finished. No more sacrifice. It's over, done. And by the way, when he said it is finished, sacrifice is complete, he also said, don't bring me anything else for your sin. Don't bring me anything else. Don't bring me anybody else. The only thing God in heaven will look at, the only thing God in heaven will look at, the only thing God in heaven will look at for payment for our sin is the sacrifice of His Son on the cross of Calvary. No other sacrifice will do. None. So that's what He meant when He said, it is finished. He meant the work was done. He meant the sacrifice was complete. What did Jesus mean when he said, it is finished? No, his life is not over. Oh, he lives today. We can still lift up our eyes to the hills from which cometh our help. He meant the work was done. He meant the sacrifice was complete. Number three, he meant the debt was paid. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. The payment for sin is death. And if we had to pay for sin ourselves, the only way to pay for our sin is to die. And this is not just talking about physical death. This is talking about spiritual death as well. Physical death separates us from life in this world. Spiritual death separates us from God forever. I'm going to pay for my sin. You can't. Or I guess I should rephrase that. You can. If you want to go to hell and burn forever and ever 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 and ever. They say, when will I pay for it? Forever and ever and ever. When will it be done? Forever and ever. But because Jesus came and became our substitute, His death corporately paid the sin debt for the human race. You say, how can this be? All right, think with me for a minute. There are two important men to you and me. Adam and Jesus. Adam and Jesus. Adam brings us bad news. Jesus brings us good news. Romans chapter 5, I don't have time this morning to take you over there, but you can read it sometime if you want to. In Adam, we all are condemned. In Jesus, we all can be justified. In Adam, we all died spiritually. In Jesus, we can all live spiritually. In Adam's, by Adam's disobedience, we all became sinners. And through Jesus' obedience, we could all be forgiven. In Adam, we all are unrighteous. In Jesus, we all can be righteous. Adam plunged us into debt. Deep, 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 deep debt. That I can't pay nor you can pay. Jesus came and paid it in full. What Adam did to us, Jesus got us out of. And I'm not blaming Adam. I'm just glad I wasn't the first man. And you better be glad you weren't the first man. It had been your name or my name instead of Adam. Sure. Christ paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. They said there was a service where the Bible was preached, the gospel was preached, and a young man, not a kid, but a young man, college-age man, came forward to be saved. He came to the altar worker and he said, I came to be saved. What do I need to do to be saved? And the altar worker said, you're too late. And the man said, too late? He said, the invitation, look, what do you mean I'm too late? He was so eaten, he was convicted, he needed to be saved. The Savior said, you're too late. You're too late to do anything. Because about 2,000 years ago, Jesus did it all. Now you just need to confess that you're a sinner and trust Christ as your Savior. Listen, folks, listen to these words. The work is done. The sacrifice is completed. The debt is paid. Done. Completed, paid, finished. Finished. Now it's just up to you and me, old wicked sinners. When the Spirit of God knocks on our heart and brings conviction to admit that we're sinners and that we can't pay the debt ourselves, and look to the Lamb of God who came to pay the debt for us. Are you saved? Have you trusted in the done, completed, paid, finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? If you haven't, friend, that's the most pressing need in your life right now, is to come and trust Christ Jesus and be saved. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Please, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one moving right now. Let me just have your attention just for a moment or two. Dear Spirit of God, please help us. Please help us. I wonder this morning if you have been saved. If you know that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you know that for a Bible reason. You've been saved and you know it. You're on your way to heaven. If that's you this morning, you know you're being honest about it before God. Would you raise your hand as testimony to that? And please be honest. If you're not saved, please don't raise your hand. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Different places, a few folks didn't raise their hand this morning. I appreciate your honesty. Listen again to these words. The work is done. The sacrifice is complete. The debt is paid. It is finished. It's finished. Friend, the greatest need in your life is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To be born into God's family. I wonder this morning who would say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand a moment ago because I do not know that I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. I didn't raise my hand a moment ago. I raise it now. I ask you to pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you just slip it up? Put it right back down wherever you're sitting. God bless you. I see that. Somebody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Somebody else this morning? You raise your hand and they have prayer for you. Anybody in the upper floor, balcony, lower floor, side to side, front to back? I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Are you saved? Done. Completed. Full. Debts paid. Finished. Do you need to be saved? Somebody else, before I close the prayer, I'm praying for you. Somebody else, Pastor, pray for me. Our Father, I told these folks I'd pray for them, and I am. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit of God would reveal to them their need for Jesus Christ and that they would come to trust Christ Jesus as their Savior, and that you put it in their heart to come and do that. As only you can do, O Spirit of God, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this morning if you've been saved but not baptized. You've not been baptized since you've been saved. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. I know I'm saved, but I've not been baptized in obedience to Christ yet. Could you raise your hand this morning? Maybe you came to be baptized. Slip out and come right now while we're waiting. Maybe you came to be baptized. Somebody else this morning to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. All right. If you've not been baptized and you want to talk to somebody about it, we give the invitation, the altar call in just a moment. One of these men can help point you to somebody who can talk to you about being obedient to Christ in baptism. Now, if you've been visiting our church, you know this is the place God wants you to join. Be a member. You've been saved and baptized. You've talked to us about it. Or you need to talk to one of us about it. We'd be happy to do that. And you can come at the invitation as well. Dear Father in heaven, I pray that you'll please bless this hour. Bless this message. Bless the invitation. May the Spirit of God draw folks to Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the work is done, the sacrifice is complete, and the debt is paid. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Please extend that to this morning to everybody, I pray, and those in need in a special way. In Christ's name I ask it. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song. Invitation. Would you come? Would you just leave your seat? Come right down the aisle. Let somebody take a Bible and show you this morning what it means to be saved. Would you come? Would you come? While we wait this morning. While we wait.